Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Well, hello there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. And because we're recording a podcast, the person sitting across from me is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
There was no possibility of taking a walk that day.
That was a really short quote.
Yes. I you know, when you can always tell it's when I'm pressed for time, it's the short quotes. Well, originally, Chris and I, when we were talking about doing this series of podcasts, this being the third part on our series on GE, we originally talked about doing two episodes.
Is the third in our two-part series.
Exactly. We're going to do parts one and parts two. But then as we looked at the history, and it is a long and storied history, that we knew that we really couldn't fit that into two episodes unless we went super long. And we try and reserve the super long episodes for things like the 400th episode or talking to Brian Brushwood. So
or
we decided to
something that makes Jonathan's vein pop out on his forehead he's screaming for half an hour.
Yeah, anything that makes me rant. So we wanted to try and keep it a little more manageable. So this is part three. And we thought we would start with a monumental event in the history of the United States and really in the world in general.
Actually not. In the world in general.
Yes, it was out of this world. 1969, the lunar landing.
Yes.
Which, for the purposes of this podcast, we are going to say actually happened on the moon.
Yes.
It was not a hoax. It was not done in some television studio. It really did happen, people. And just go with this. It did happen, because if you say it didn't happen, there's a chance an astronaut is going to show up and deck you.
You know, I'm not arguing.
I'm not arguing either.
You're looking at me when you say that.
Well, it's because you're across from me.
Oh, good point.
So anyway, yes, the lunar landing in 1969. So you've probably seen the iconic image of the footprint left behind by Neil Armstrong on the surface of the moon.
Yes.
Well, the company that made the material that created that boot print.
Silicone rubber, as it turns out.
That was GE. GE created the silicone rubber that was used in Neil Armstrong's boots, as well as the other astronauts. So that boot print is courtesy of GE's technology.
Yep. Oh, they also did a couple other things, like quality control systems, launch vehicle test facilities, ship-to-satellite communications for live color TV pictures of splashdown and recovery, systems engineering support, just little stuff.
Sure, but I'm talking about the boot, okay?
Okay.
All right, I'm talking about that footprint.
So you're giving me the boot.
I am
is what you're
you
saying.
The boot. But no, that is – it's really cool. They did play – that was one of the companies that played a large part in getting people – to the moon. Not the only one, obviously. There were many other companies that all contributed to that effort. But GE did make a significant contribution to the space race, and mm-hmm. it was pretty awesome to see that come together. And if you guys have never watched any video footage of the lunar landing, I highly recommend you check it out. There's tons of it on the internet. I like watching the reactions of the news anchors when the lunar landing set down, because you mm-hmm. see these people who have developed very, very stately professional personas on the air, and you see them kind of, you see that crack just a bit as the enormity of mm-hmm. this event hits them in real time. It's phenomenal. That probably doesn't mean as much to you if you aren't familiar with their previous work, but for those who have seen footage of these newscasters, reporting all sorts of events, including major tragedies, and see them kind of break down a little bit when they see people land on the moon, it kind of gives you an idea of how big a deal this was.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy for us to forget now because we're so far removed from it,
mm-hmm.
but it was enormous. And also, I just anything that shows that kind of level of awe in human achievement to me is really inspiring. So,
and those are Jonathan's feelings in a capsule.
There you go. 1970, the GE sold one of its divisions. This is one of those few times where GE did divest itself of something.
Mm-hmm.
It sold a computer division to a company called Honeywell. We'll have to do an episode on Honeywell at some point, too.
Mm-hmm.
So 1970, they sell this computer division to Honeywell, which is why GE is not really into the whole computer side of the industry. And in 1971, they introduced something that is very, again, really important to those of us in the South.
Well, it's especially cool.
Yes, it is especially cool.
Especially when you're on the go because
it's also handy.
The first portable air conditioner called
yes.
the Carry Cool.
Yes. Very cool. Yes, definitely. Anything where you can move an air conditioner from room to room is awesome. Yeah, very important for those of us who live in warm climates. And in 2012, when we were recording this, we had an exceptionally mild winter.
Yes.
Mild is probably even going, being generous. It was warm to the point where we were hitting 80 degree temperatures in February.
Yes.
Which makes us worry about what the temperatures could be like in, say, May or June or, heaven help us, August.
Yes. We've talked about the many businesses with which GE was involved, and in 1971 also, they worked for the French company actually to pull this off, but the GE F-101 engine became the world's most successful aircraft engine.
Mm-hmm.
Just very, very popular machine, and you know, just another one of the transportation businesses that they were involved in. There will be actually some new ones that we haven't talked about in previous pod. Well, something we touched on in previous podcasts, but not the same way. Also, the second of the scientists at the GE laboratories, Dr. How would you pronounce his name? Ivari Glaver?
No, Ivar Giever?
Giever?
I have no idea.
He got the Nobel Prize in
physics. His last name is spelled G-I-A-E-V-E-R.
Mm-hmm. Now, the funny thing about this is he won this award in 1973, the Nobel in Physics. For something he did in 1960, he discovered superconductive tunneling. And we've talked about that in previous podcasts
yes.
several times.
So if you want to know what superconductive tunneling is, this is one of those weird quantum effects that is perplexing and can also be very irritating to computer engineers as
yes.
they design chips. Superconductive tunneling is that tendency for subatomic particles to pass through barriers as if the barrier is not there.
Yes.
And in general, this has to do with the probability of a particle being within a certain area. As the particle approaches a barrier, there is a probability that the particle will be on the other side of that barrier. And as long as there's a probability, that means that there is going to be, at least in some instances, a case where the subatomic particle will be on the other side of that barrier as if it passed through it. Now, there is no actual tunnel left behind. It's not like there's a hole made through the barrier. It's just that there's a point where the subatomic particle is on one side and then it's on the other. And that's crazy. But it's also quantum. I should also point out that, you know, we were talking about 1973. Back in 72, just really briefly, Fred J. Borch retired in 72. And Reginald H. Jones became chairman and CEO.
Okay, so Borch was the chairman and CEO.
Yeah, he was president and CEO. And then in 67, he became the chairman and CEO. And then in 72, he retires and Reginald H. Jones becomes the chairman and CEO.
Okay, just since, you know, in case you were just tuning in.
Yes. Yes, yes, because that was in the last podcast.
Yes.
So
for us,
up,
it was like 10 minutes
ago. Yeah, so for you guys, it was a week ago. We're sorry. So 78 is the next date I have. Do you have anything between 73 and 78?
Yes, I do.
Oh, good.
Now, we've talked about in previous podcasts GE's interest in medical fields, actually from a pretty early time in its corporate history. The company was involved with different medical technologies, electronic medical technologies. And we also talked about a superconductive magnet that they created. Well, this is where we're starting to get into the heavy-duty, high-end, high-tech scanners. 76 is when they created a computed tomography scanner, CT scanner. And this is a time when GE's units have worked together. There's a group at the Research and Development Center and also at the Medical Systems Division. Can do cross-section x-rays in 5 seconds, greatly speeds up medical diagnoses. So that is a pretty nifty technology. And also something else that was sort of curious dating back to our first podcast on GE, 1976 is when the company chose to acknowledge its 100th anniversary, its centennial. And
in what year?
76.
76?
I thought.
Crazy. I'm sure it was. I had 78.
Okay. I'm sorry. Well, yeah, I do too. Sorry. I had looked down at the wrong thing. But that's, that is coming up because 1876 is when Thomas Edison opened his laboratory. But the Edison General Electric Company, which is one of the two companies that went in to create General Electric, was founded in 1890.
Yeah. 1878 was when he founded the Edison Electric Light Company, which I guess is what GE identifies as being the seed that it grew out of.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry
about my date incorrection.
Oh, no. It just made me think that maybe, because again, we look at different, Chris and I both do our research independently. So once in a while, especially for something as complex as a corporate history, you can come up with some conflicts in dates. But in this case, it is 1978 was when they were saying they were 100 years old. And apparently, I would say it's the Electric Light Company that they're looking at, not the electric company. Hey, you guys. But the Electric Light Company, that was the basis for their 100 years. They counted from that point, even though the Edison General Electric Company didn't start until 1890. And the General Electric Company itself didn't happen until, what was it, like 96, 1896, something like that?
After that.
Oh, it was even after that.
Well, no, after 1890.
Yeah. So anyway, you've got this whole, it's 1892. You've got this whole centennial problem here. When do you trace your history back?
And we have the same thing with IBM.
Yeah, same thing with IBM, where they have a date that is slightly different than the date when the company was actually incorporated.
Right.
But yeah, they celebrated their centennial. Now this goes all the way back to the days at Menlo Park, New Jersey, which is now called
Edison,
New Jersey. It's where Thomas Alva Edison had his own research lab. And that year, they also introduced a couple of new products, including a new type of technology about helping you wake up.
Yes, the first programmable digital clock radio. That's very nice to have.
It's a great way to celebrate 100 years.
Nee, nee,
yes.
Nee.
It's been blinking 12 since then.
Yeah.
So that was one of the two products I had for that year. The other one being an over-the-range microwave oven.
Oh, well, yeah, the Space Maker. But they also came out with the FP1 and FP2 food processors.
Ah, yes.
Which are really handy if you need to chop up a whole bunch of veggies in a hurry.
Very true.
One of the things that that we've talked about repeatedly on the other two podcasts is GE's diversity in its businesses. Now, of course, they're all revolving around things you can do with energy and ways to add to them. So, you know, you've got your big stuff. You got dynamos and nuclear power plants, things that generate electricity. You've got jet engines and other transportation stuff that uses energy to get you from place to place. And you've also got small appliances and other appliances, larger appliances that people use in their home to take advantage of energy. So they're the idea, one of the things that GE identified early on was its desire to come up with a whole range of stuff, that people could use to make their lives better. And we are not teasing them about the digital clock radio or food processors, but it really does show the breadth of stuff that they are doing.
Yep.
Also in 78, they got 865 patents awarded to them in the United States. They were the first organization to get 50,000 United States patents.
Yeah, that number is going to go up, by the way. We'll have more on that number as we go on. It's pretty crazy when you look at the number of patents that were awarded to GE over its history.
Yeah.
The next year I have is 81. Do you have anything between 78 and 81?
No, I don't. And 81 was sort of – talk about crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, you had the chairman and CEO retired. Jones retired.
Yeah.
John F. Welch became the new chairman and CEO.
Oh, you mean Jack.
Yes. Jack.
Yeah, we're on a first name basis, me and Jack.
Yeah, I'm not. Mr. Welch became chairman and CEO. GE developed a method to create fiber optic strands. They would actually create these ingots and would pull strands of material from them that would create fiber optic lines.
This is what I think is crazy.
Yeah.
3 foot, the quartz ingots we're talking about are 3 feet long. That's about a meter.
Yeah.
And they can be stretched into fiber optic strands 25 miles in length.
Yeah.
So it goes from, you know, I mean, a mile is what, 5,280 feet?
Yeah, give or take nothing.
Give or take nothing.
Yeah,
so that's which
is exactly 5,280 feet.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, that's, you know, to put it in perspective, I was trying to put it in perspective because I didn't do the metric translation for the,
right,
the miles.
Right.
But, yeah, that's a long stretch. So
just multiply by 1.6. That's pretty impressive. I've got 1983, they developed the Sigma Magnetic Resonance Imaging System, mm-hmm. which is also known as the MRI, X-rays are really good for looking at things like bones.
Yes.
They're good at looking at hard tissue, but not so good at looking at soft tissue.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't show up very well on an X-ray, so if you're looking for something that could be a problem beyond just something that's affecting hard tissue, an X-ray is not your best choice. The MRI, which is a technology that was born out of this work that General Electric had been doing with magnets for mm-hmm. several decades, allowed doctors to look at soft tissue in a way that they could not before without doing like exploratory surgery.
Right.
So this is a non-invasive way to get a look at what is going on within a person's body.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the early MRIs were less sophisticated. It took a lot longer to take a full image. We've talked about MRIs in another episode of Tech Stuff.
Yeah.
But This was really a revolution in the medical imaging field.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We talked about in a previous episode how the two companies that went into creating GE, that merged to create GE, were actually dueling it out.
Yes.
For a very large electrical project back before everybody had electric lights in their homes. The Chicago World's Fair, the Columbian Exposition. Well, they were chosen in 1986 to participate in another major public electrical project.
They were lighting up a lady.
Yes. And this would be Lady Liberty, the Statue of Liberty, given to the United States by the French a long time ago. Well, they were redoing the Statue of Liberty. They were trying to clean it up, renovate it, and they redid the lighting from scratch. As a matter of fact, a GE person named Gilbert Ryling came up with a completely new metal halide lamp specifically for this project. And the GE Research Labs and Howard Branston came up with the lighting scheme for the statue and its torch.
Mm-hmm.
So they were instrumental in helping redo the lighting for the statue.
Also, in 1986, 56 years after the United States government told GE that it had to get rid of RCA, GE took over RCA.
Again.
So they reacquired RCA, the Radio Corporation of America, in 1986, and also, as part of that deal, acquired NBC. So GE once more has controlling interest in both RCA and NBC. Now, then GE turns around and sells that 50% interest in RCA to a partner company called Bertelsmann. And RCA then changes names. It becomes BMG Music.
Yes. Bertelsmann is a German publisher.
Yeah. And was, again, partnered with General Electric. So, yes, now you've got BMG Music and NBC. NBC still falling under the guidance of General Electric. Also would eventually become part of a partnership between General Electric and the company Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
This, by the way, forms the basis of many, many, many jokes found in the television series 30 Rock.
Yes.
So in 30 Rock, you have Baldwin's character, who is a corporate.
Baldwin.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin's character. It wasn't Stephen Baldwin. Alec Baldwin's character is a corporate executive with General Electric.
Mm-hmm.
And he is put in charge of many things, including some of the programming at NBC, which involves the show that Liz Lemon works on. So he talks about how he helped introduce some very innovative products in GE's past, including some crazy microwaves and things of that nature, which, again, poke fun at GE's history with home electronics and appliances. So if you always wondered where those jokes came from, well, it's because General Electric owns NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And then in more recent episodes, they've talked about a cable company called Cabletown taking over more and more of the responsibilities of producing the show. And Jack Donaghy, the Baldwin character, has now become an executive with Cabletown. That's the whole reference to GE and Comcast entering a partnership together and overseeing NBC. So just giving you that background so that you can understand why those jokes are funny.
Okay, then.
And in 1989, they actually launched the Consumer News and Business Channel, or CNBC.
See? NBC.
Yeah. It's a 24-hour news channel. It's sort of a competitor to CNN.
I was going to say, they don't never make that work. Oh.
Yeah.
In 1990, Simplicity, which...
Spelled with a C.
Which is spelled with a C, is a computer system that basically tracks how automotive bodies are traveling through... the manufacturing process.
Yeah.
So they know where parts are headed and where everything is going and where it's been. So they have a good idea. And that's been adopted by a lot of the automotive industry today.
Yeah, it's an administrative software, which really helps you know what's going on at any given time during your whole process. You can look at the supply chain even and say, well, you know, we're going to need to address this because it's going to become a problem if we don't take care of it at this point. So it's very useful. Again, one of those things about improving efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
So not terribly exciting to necessarily a consumer, but it does ultimately affect the consumer because by improving efficiency, you can do things like take down, you know, keep prices low.
Yeah.
So it does end up affecting us in the long run. It's just when at first glance, you're like, well, that's okay, but I don't see why it's important to me.
Mm-hmm. And then 92, the Mars Observer rolled out. That was the first newspaper on Mars.
Yeah, it was very effective. It's weird because it came out in 92, and the only comic strip it's running is Marmaduke.
No, this was actually...
Because it had M-A-R in the name.
Satellite. that studies Martian geology and climate and maps the planet's surface.
Yes, so it's a satellite. It's not actually a newspaper.
I enjoyed the joke, though.
Yeah.
And then in 93, the GE Medical Systems and the R&D Center again went in on creating a magnetic resonance therapy system.
Also in 93, GE sold off the GE Aerospace division to Marietta Martin, which would later become Lockheed Martin.
Yep.
So this is another one of those instances where GE did divest itself of part of its business. Didn't do so that frequently, just once in a while. So, it's not one of those habitual, let's purchase every company we can see and then sell off stuff that doesn't work. That doesn't tend to be GE's approach.
Yeah, but it's not. It also doesn't herald the end of GE's involvement in transportation, as we shall see.
That's true. Let you take lead on this because you took much more detailed notes during this era, whereas this is the part where I started to check my Facebook status.
This is the part that's really exciting.
Okay.
GE Plastics became the first. You could tell I went to GE.com to get my information. GE Plastics was the first part of the company which made it the first Fortune 500 company to go online and had its own website.
First Fortune 500 company that was not a computer company.
Right.
We need to be specific. So GE,
funny how they omitted that part of GE.
They have to be really careful here. Yeah, GE was one of the first Fortune 500 companies to have a web presence. First Fortune 500 companies that didn't already deal exclusively with either computers
right.
or networks. So they were a non-computer, non-network company that had a website. And that was kind of a big deal. Now, granted, back in 1994, really all they had was a looping MIDI and an under construction GIF. But, that's not true. But, it was much more static than future websites would be. But in just two more years, GE, the company, would launch its own website, which would become kind of a hub for lots and lots and lots of different businesses. Also, they launched another project, which was one that was in partnership with Microsoft.
Yes, MSNBC.
Yes.
Which was, part of the Microsoft Network and NBC together.
Yep.
Working on a project of, it's a different sort of news station.
Yep.
And is still on the air today.
Yep.
1998, a new CT system using new technology that allows them to get multiple images at the same time and speeds things up than other single slice scanners. I find this interesting. It was the first design for Six Sigma project that made it. Which means fewer than 3 defects per million opportunities. So it was supposedly, I'm going by GE's information, so I don't have anything that says otherwise.
Right.
Very, very reliable.
Yeah. I mean, that is very significant. We kind of take it for granted that when stuff is put together, that's done so flawlessly.
Mm-hmm.
But in real life, that just does not happen. There are going to be flaws. And sometimes companies catch them before mm-hmm. they go out to market. Sometimes consumers find out about them and then there's a recall, or sometimes there's a patch of some sort if it's a software type thing. We've seen that recently in 2012 with Apple. Apple had released a new iPad in the spring of 2012,
mm-hmm.
and the Wi-Fi versions of the iPad were some consumers were reporting problems with it. And so Apple has essentially had a capture and release program where you bring your iPad in that's having issues and they'll replace it for you.
Yeah.
And that could be anything from a faulty chip to just a faulty process in the manufacturing line. But that stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why this is significant, is that you might just take it for granted that things work. Things don't just work. We have to work to make them work.
Yes.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. and you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
And you remember when we were talking earlier on another podcast about the powerful engines? This is what I meant about them not getting out of transportation entirely. The GE90-115B, mm-hmm. which is a catchy name, was a jet engine that Boeing requested of them. 115,000-pound thrust engine used for the 777-200LR and 777-300ER. Was the most powerful commercial jet engine in 1999.
I have one fact in 1999 I want to share that I know is not part of the GE timeline that mm-hmm. I would like to mention.
Okay.
So in 99, an interesting company became a subsidiary of GE.
Oh, yeah?
A company that also has a very long history.
Yeah.
Montgomery Ward.
Really?
Yes.
I had no idea.
GE was a major shareholder in Montgomery Ward. You know, we talked about how GE would invest money in other companies.
Yeah, Montgomery Ward was a department store.
And a catalog company.
And a catalog company in the United States.
And so there is a Montgomery Ward that still exists today, but it's a different company than the one that I'm talking about here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In 99, what happened was Montgomery Ward, this catalog company and department store, went into Chapter 11.
Mm-hmm.
GE then ended up taking over, and it became a subsidiary of GE. Now, it would later fold completely. The company would just fold within a year or two.
Yeah.
So, but I just thought that was interesting. It's one of those things where, you know, it again shows you that GE was diversifying by investing in lots of different businesses, not all of which were successful.
Right.
But just one of those things that I thought was an interesting fact about GE, and I wanted to mention it before we said goodbye to and partied like it was 1999.
Well, they also came out with an anatomical mapping technology that gave people or doctors more vision into what where the locations of disease were.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the first, according to GE, to introduce full-field digital mammography in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
They also started doing a lot of e-business. They were making more than $2 billion in 1999 in e-business, and they opened a global research center in Bangalore in India. So they were, really opening it up to, becoming a real global company where they had other units in other countries like that.
Yep.
And then in 2000, they had a power plant on wheels.
I saw that. It was a truck. Yeah, a trailer truck. And
however, the TM2500 could produce 22.8 megawatts. Was the largest mobile gas turbine generator set available and can be shipped via land or sea. It only takes days to set up. However, it could be very useful if you need a portable generator of that magnitude.
I mean, think about like disasters. You know, mm-hmm. for example, Hurricane Katrina, when it hit New Orleans, mm-hmm. there were entire huge sections of that region that were without power. So these sort of advances are very important for those kind of events. And not just those as well, but there are others. But yeah, for disaster relief, this would be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The 2000s, I would say, are characterized in GE's history with a lot of medical advances.
Well, and I should also say, before we jump into that, 2000 was also the centennial for GE's research and development division.
Right.
They had formed that in 1900. By 2000, GE's R&D division had been awarded 67,588 patents.
Mm-hmm.
That is phenomenal. Now, granted, keep in mind, patents really only protect a process or a technology for a limited amount of time. So not all of those patents were active. It's not like GE could sue you for making another light bulb because that patent has expired decades ago. Those patents tend to last either 14 or 17 years, depending on the type of patent.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, just wanted to mention that. And also in 2001, we had another change. In fact, Welch leaves in 2001,
mm-hmm.
and Jeffrey R. Immelt becomes chairman and CEO of GE. He's the current head. What?
Yes. Nothing.
You're just staring at me smugly.
Yes. I just happened to have been affected by that change.
Oh, were you?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, no, and my previous employer.
Yes.
I worked for the Home Depot on their website.
Yes.
And I worked there during the years that Robert Nardelli was the CEO of the company. And
yep.
Nardelli and Immelt were in competition for Welch's job.
Oh.
So I just sort of smirk because I go, huh. And see, this stuff touched me, and you wouldn't have thought it would.
2001 also marked an effort with GE trying to merge with another company, a company they had a history with,
mm-hmm.
a little company called Honeywell.
Ah, yes.
So Honeywell, that was the company they sold their computer division to back in 1971, I think. So they tried to merge with Honeywell, and they were even approved by the United States Department of Justice
mm-hmm.
and 11 other entities. But they encountered a tiny little problem at the European Union.
Really?
Yeah, they said that this is violating some antitrust laws, and so the merger was blocked. So it was one of those major events that really kind of opened everyone's eyes to we are a global mm-hmm. entity now. It's no longer companies working within the confines of a single country,
mm-hmm.
because now you're talking about how almost all the world can approve of something, and one part of the world can say, no, that violates this law,
yeah.
and that will block it.
The merger is up, and it's blocked.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big deal because it looked like it was going to go through until the European Union came in and said, no, we won't allow this to happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, that was a multi-billion dollar deal that, mm-hmm. that fell through.
Yeah, yep, that's amazingly huge.
Yes.
One thing, there were several different imaging systems and other things that were introduced, and we'll touch on a few of those because there are tons of them in the 2000s.
Yes, yes.
But they did one of the things that I thought was interesting in 2000, before we get too far ahead, was GE developed the first diagnostic agent for objectively identifying Parkinson's,
mm-hmm.
Called DaTscan. Which basically is a liquid that they use to show the contrast between healthy and affected parts of the brain. So they weren't just developing the systems. They were also developing the agents that help those systems work, made it more effective. Also, before we leave 2001, I find it kind of funny because after all this, GE invents a new kind of incandescent light bulb, the Reveal, which if you look at them, they're kind of blue bluish color. Mm-hmm. If you live in a country where they still sell incandescent light bulbs, mm-hmm. as we do. And they also changed the way that compact fluorescent lights, or as we call them in my house, curly bulbs, are, because they redesigned the geometry, the way that the tube itself is shaped, so that it would be more compact and fit in places where a traditional incandescent bulb would fit, which is helpful for those of us who have light fixtures that were made for incandescent bulbs, but right. we don't want to replace the entire lighting system.
Right, right.
And that's, you know, again, useful because it helps speed the adoption of that technology, which is a more energy efficient technology.
Mm-hmm.
They were in space again, working on the International Space Station in 2002.
Yep. They also did you talk about the 4D imaging?
The GE Volusson 730?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
It's kind of neat. Yeah, they talked so in 2002 they introduced this technology mainly for ultrasounds, which allowed physicians to actually view 3D images in an ultrasound live. What mm-hmm. was happening. So it was rendering live 3D images, which is a big deal. It helps a lot when you're trying to diagnose potential problems or just look at the general health of a patient. So mm-hmm. yeah, that was I thought that was pretty cool. I also thought it was neat in 2003 how they introduced something that is just now starting to really get a little more traction, which is this idea of having appliances that talk to each other.
Yes, the Profile Harmony Closed Care System, mm-hmm. which, you know, is marketing jargon.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically it's a washer and dryer that talk to one another, theoretically, to enable better care of your clothes.
So, for example, if you set your washer to wash things that are designed for permanent press, it would communicate that to the dryer so that the settings would already be there when you transfer the items from washer to dryer, so that it uses the right amount of temperature and the right duration to get your clothes dry without damaging them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea behind it. Now, today we're talking about appliances that have even greater ability to send information back and forth between each other and try and personalize your experience to a higher degree. But it was this sort of stuff back in 2003 that's kind of the building the foundation for that.
Actually, it's funny you would mention degrees, because I was going to mention the Trivecton GE profile ovens that combine thermal, convection, and microwave technology. If I'm not mistaken, and I didn't watch a lot of 30 Rock, but I think this is one of the specific technologies that he was supposed to have come up with.
Yeah.
And
I think it also could transform into a dangerous robot that could wreak havoc across the city.
Well, it is supposed to speed up your cooking time.
Yeah.
Let's see. 2003, they came up with the H system, which is first the jet combined cycle system that and the first that can do better than 60% efficiency.
Yep.
The VeriWise trucking system using satellite and cellular telematics to track trucks.
Yep.
That's sort of like the technology that we're using in the warehouses.
Yeah, the simplicity
from
earlier. Yeah, they once they found systems that work, they began to look at ways to apply that across other industries, which, you know, that's a viable approach. So, it's, again, another one of those ways of looking at supply chains.
Well, the Centricity was a medical systems release that they worked into the Indiana Heart Hospital, and it was a way to use digital patient records, data, and medical images. And basically anybody who was in the hospital, you know, random people could come in and look. No, doctors and medical personnel at the hospital could check from wherever they were and see how a patient was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are all very similar.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's CONCUR.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Yep. Skipping ahead a little bit to 2004, they developed a couple of interesting technologies. There was one called Street Lab, which was, you know, a sort of a portable lab that could analyze and identify materials like powders, pills, liquids. So this is sort of the stuff that law enforcement or military officials would need in order to identify potentially hazardous or illegal materials.
Yes.
They also demonstrated that OLED technology could be used in lighting applications, which, you know, that's again, you know, we're talked about a few times about how they have, how the company has pushed lighting technology going beyond just the incandescent bulb, which formed the very foundation of GE's business way back in the day.
Yep.
They've looked at fluorescence and LED and OLED technology as ways to light areas in your home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in 2004, they found a new application for that plastic that the company invented on accident, Lexan.
Yep.
The Aluminex films, basically something that would interest TechStuff fans. They use them, films like this, in LCD screens to give them a more evenly lit surface. So, you know, they use the hard plastic as a very thin film, basically in the guts of the screen to do that. And I didn't mention that in 2000, again, Lexan shows up. SLX, they use a color-infused plastic that they were using on cars. So they're finding new ways to use this plastic in very thin sheets that can be used for these different applications.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Go ahead.
I was going to say GE Healthcare again with the high-def magnetic resonance systems.
Yes, this is 2005.
Yep.
Yeah, this is where they were able to increase the resolution on those MRI scans so that doctors could get an even better look at what's going on in that soft tissue.
Yep, and apparently, according to GE, this is very useful for kids and people with Parkinson's disease because this particular type of machine, this high-definition machine, is better at capturing people who can't hold still. If you've never had an MRI done, you're supposed to be perfectly still. For quite a while. Well, it depends on what they're doing, but it generally could be anywhere from a few minutes to a few hours.
And you hear this loud knocking noise.
aura buzzing as I did.
Yeah, they do give you...
used a warning, people.
They gave you headphones, right?
They gave me headphones, but I could hear through them.
Yeah.
So this is a benefit for doctors because they don't need you to be quite so still.
Mm-hmm.
They were in lighting again. 2007, they came out with a VIO,
mm-hmm.
a high power white LED.
Yep.
And this is moving toward using these for lighting in buildings. They used a proprietary technology to do a 100 Kelvin color shift, less than 100 Kelvins, over 50,000 hours.
Yeah.
So that's a big step up from Edison's bamboo filament light bulb of, you know, a few hundred hours.
That same year, they created a 24-cylinder gas engine.
Yeah.
They also created, did you see the hybrid locomotive?
Yes.
That's actually pretty cool.
Well, it uses a regenerative braking process.
Yeah. And it,
so, you know, they use this in cars too. When they are braking, the train is storing up energy that it can be used to power the locomotive. And it cuts fuel use by up to 18%.
Yeah. And emissions up to 55%. So that's significant. You know, it may not be as dramatic as one would hope, but that's every little bit helps.
Well, and trains are used so much still around the world.
Oh, yes. I could tell you all about that. My house is right across from some train tracks, so I get to hear it every day.
I can't tell what animal made these. Oh, those are train tracks.
Yes.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, they were, I was going to say in, not to jump too far ahead, 2008, Virgin Atlantic with Richard Branson.
Mm-hmm.
One of their jet engines used biofuel. From a jaunt over in Europe, from Heathrow in London to Amsterdam, they used coconut and barbasu oil.
That's
just one of those engines. They wanted to try it out.
Yeah.
So and it worked.
And that same year, the labs at GE created a super hydrophobic nano coating. So hydrophobic means that it repels water. It does not like hydrophilic would mean it clings to water. Hydrophobic means it repels. So why would you want a hydrophobic coating? Well, it could be really useful for a coating on things like jet engines when you're traveling at altitudes where normally ice could form on different components. If you have a hydrophobic coating on top of your equipment, then it helps prevent that ice formation.
And also
very important.
Yes, especially for things like jet engines. It also keeps dirt build up to a minimum as well, because if it has less moisture than that, the moisture would cause the dirt to clump.
What's irritating is when you try and wash the vehicle, the sponge soaked with water will just jump literally out of your hand and fly 15 feet across the tarmac.
So in 2008, he said, moving on, they managed to come up with a way to print OLEDs.
Yeah, this is OLED sheets mainly for lighting. They're not printing a display in the sense of like, you know, oh, I need a 17-inch display. Let me print one up. It's more like printing up these OLEDs that are meant to just be lights. But they were using technology that was essentially based on newspaper printing tech.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. They just, you know, took this old technology for printing newspapers and found a way to retool it so that they could print sheets of OLEDs.
Yes, which is nice considering the state of the printing industry. Hopefully some of those
can be repurposed.
Yeah. Well, speaking as a former newspaper reporter, in 2009 found
was that for the Mars Observer.
Yes, it was. Explains a lot. 2009, they found a way to save 500 gigabytes on a single DVD sized disc.
Yeah. If you want to know how significant that is, if you were to have a dual sided DVD with four layers of storage, you could hold maybe around 17 gigs of info.
Mm-hmm.
So using a same sized medium, now keep in mind this is a DVD sized disc. It's not a DVD itself. But using this holographic storage, you could store 500 gigs of data.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, and that is a huge improvement. Of course, we are moving toward a solid state kind of approach where optical media are less important for mm-hmm. most of us. So in a way, you know, holographic storage may not become a big deal, but still pretty impressive.
Yeah. They also came up with smaller ultrasound devices.
Yes.
There's one that's the Venue 40, which is sort of a tablet size. And there's another called V-Scan, which is pocket size. And this is good for two reasons. I mean, you would imagine that it would be nice to be able to carry this around without having to wheel around a cart, as I've seen in some places. I imagine it would also be, very useful in places where medical equipment is more dear, places where it might be hard to get medical equipment of that nature in or out.
Yes.
So having these portable devices would be easier for doctors to come in to an isolated area and help diagnose and treat patients.
Yeah, they started to work on, or continued actually to work on, creating ways to sequence DNA mm-hmm. faster.
Yep.
To make that, you know, the whole DNA sequencing, you know, of course we've figured out how to do it. It's just a question of creating the, getting it more efficient and more, so that we can do it more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But also they, developed some interesting wearable sensors.
Yeah. I like that.
Designed to test the air for toxins.
Yes.
So this would be something that you could put on a uniform or, other piece of clothing to help indicate when things are, going bad. You need to get the heck out of that area.
Yeah, it would be
it's
like a little
more
badge.
Sensitive than a canary.
Yes, you could wear it on a badge on your uniform or your coveralls or whatever
yeah.
it is. And if you were in an environment where
toxins are present,
there were toxins yeah. present, it would change color or give you some other sort of notice to let you know that it's time to go.
Yep.
Energy smart LED bulbs.
Yeah, 2010.
Again, yep.
So this is really impressive. These smart LED bulbs that GE has created are 77% more efficient than incandescent bulbs. In other words, they use 77% less energy.
Mm-hmm.
And they can last up to 22 years under normal use conditions.
Yeah.
So think about that. You buy these light bulbs for your house and you don't have to replace them, for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
I want me some of these.
Yeah, they're, kind of expensive at this time. However, I imagine that if you amortize that cost over 22 years, it probably evens out somewhat.
And you also have to think, if these are LED bulbs, they have distinct advantages over fluorescent bulbs.
Oh, yes.
Fluorescent bulbs, one of the big disadvantages is that there's some very toxic materials inside fluorescent bulbs.
Yes. Mercury.
And, yeah.
Quicksilver.
If you were to break one, then you could potentially expose yourself to very dangerous toxic materials. So LED bulbs, they don't have that same problem.
Yeah.
So there's that advantage as well. So you're like, well, it's more efficient. I don't have to buy them as frequently, and it's not going to kill me if I break one.
Yeah.
It might kill my wallet, where I think, oh, I spent so much money on that bulb and I just broke it. But it's not gonna poison you.
I'm feeling like I have to make this joke. So thank you, GE, for saving us by inventing this product that so much better than the old product invented by GE.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you brought a good thing to life.
Yeah. They also are working on other ways to save energy, such as the Watt Station.
Yep.
Which is a device for charging electric vehicles on home or at the or on the road.
Yes.
Not on the road, but yeah, I mean they could be
stationed elsewhere
than your house.
Yeah.
They've been working on ways to network smart meters and give you an idea of how much energy you're using.
Yeah, they have a nucleus energy manager, which has these little, they look like adapters almost for a plug. And
yeah.
then you plug your appliance into that and you plug that into the wall and it helps communicate with the smart meter how much energy each appliance is drawing, when it's drawing it. It's really an idea that lets you ultimately micromanage what your appliances are doing when
yeah.
and trying to make it as efficient and cost effective a system as possible. So that
yeah.
way you're not just spending money keeping something active when it doesn't need to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that gets us within the last couple of years. But it really shows how what an amazing 100 slightly more years it's been for this company. I mean, they really came around at the time when electricity was becoming a household necessity. I mean, mm-hmm. they kind of made it a necessity because all of a sudden we've gone from, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we had electric lighting in our house, to you know, they've made all these products that make our lives so much easier, and we've grown accustomed to, and in some cases need, especially with a medical, talking about medical equipment, where it's made such a difference in our lives. And I can't imagine that Thompson and Edison and Houston, looking back on it, at the advancements their company has made in that time. I mean, going from Edison's days of, you know, a few hundred hours to a bulb that will last 22 years under normal conditions. It's just phenomenal, really.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And, you know, we're continuing to see innovations from GE. I'm sure the company will push for being a leader in things like energy efficiency, in lighting and that sort of stuff. I would be shocked to see them.
I see what you did there.
To get away from that. This is definitely an interesting company with a very interesting past. I'm excited to see what happens in the future with it, especially, knowing how they do spend so much money and time in research, pure research.
Yeah.
That, it's always a benefit. I mean, I love to learn and I love finding out new things. So it's always cool when I see a company that's dedicated to that sort of stuff. Again, even if it's not truly altruistic, it ends up benefiting us in ways that no one could have anticipated. So, I'm all for it.
Yeah. And it's always fun for us to dig into these companies and their pasts too, I think, because we find out things about the company that we didn't know before.
Yep.
And products and services they are involved in or were involved in. Looking at IBM and some of the companies that they rolled off and became huge in their own right. This is just one of those fascinating things that we discover when we dig into these, and I've enjoyed doing these.
Yes, so have I. So if you guys have a company you think that we should focus on, let us know. Or if there's any other topic you would like us to cover or any particular person you would like us to interview, give us a shout. But don't actually just shout it, because chances are we won't hear you. Instead, why don't you send us an email? Our address is textup@discovery.com, or track us down on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle at both of those is textup, HSW. And Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.